Pete Rose died yesterday at 83. When you talk about the most historic, recognizable, and controversial figures in the history of the sport, he's in the top five. The hits record, the games record, the 44-game hitting streak. How about this stat? From the age of 32 to when he was 41, Dave Aragon, he missed five total regular season games. Ages 32 to 41.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. MVP, the driver of the big red machine, and then gambling, right? He was booted from the game in 1989. You had Bart Giamatti and Faye Vincent because Giamatti would die. Pete was adamant, didn't, and then later finally admitted he did gamble, but was adamant he never gambled on Reds games. But then the question was, well, or never gambled against
never,
the Reds.
Never bet against the Reds.
Never bet against the Reds. Let me clarify myself. Apologize. Then people would say, well, wait a second. If you're picking and choosing which games you're betting on your team, is that dictating your strategy? I bring in my friend Charlie Barker. Charlie and I met 30-some years ago working together at The Fan. We've stayed in touch. Charlie's done great work with Westwood One and other business adventures. And part of Charlie's life was working with Pete Rose on their show together. And Charlie's here, like all our guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. What did you say earlier today, Charlie? Just short of 4 years you guys worked together?
That's correct, Chad, yep.
When you first heard the news about Pete yesterday that he passed, what were the emotions which came to mind, and what are still with you today?
Well, funny enough, Chad, I just landed in Minneapolis, and I couldn't believe it. I got a text from my good friend Devin Norder, and my first reaction was, what? And then everything started coming in, right? Social media alerts, and I'm crushed, Chad. Like, Pete had such an impact on my life, had such an impact on my professional career, my personal career. It's hard to even talk about. I got hundreds of texts yesterday and today, and I don't know how to deal with it. I couldn't sleep last night, and I had to present to a sales team today, and I apologize because I am absolutely off my game today because I lost a good friend.
Well, I can hear it in your words. I can hear it in your voice. Knowing you, I can tell you're a little bit off. Why? It's one thing when you work with someone professionally, right? And sometimes it's just at work, and then we go on with the rest of our lives. But for you personally, this struck so much more. We can hear that. Why did it? Why did you guys connect in the way you did? And what was that connection?
Chad, you talked a lot about Pete in this intro. And I truly believe that he is one of the most misunderstood people for a lot of different reasons, yes. And unfortunately, too late in his life, he admitted the issues that he had, most of the issues that he had. But if you get Pete away from, I'll just say it this way, people, he was someone who you wanted to have dinner with. He was someone you wanted to talk to. He is someone, Chad, that never forgot a thing. His memory for people that he had come through in his life, he is misunderstood because he has, I think, been cast as kind of a grumpy guy who, you know, went through life upset because his whole goal in his professional career was to get into the Hall of Fame. And absolutely it was, right? Everything he did was about trying to be the best, trying to set records. And he would, you know, tell stories about, you know, my last game in baseball, I set 23 different records because it was every at bat, every run, every base, you know, everything was, he was very records driven, which obviously he still holds a lot today. But Pete Rose, the man, Chad, he made some bad choices. But he is someone that you would want to hang out with. He is someone who did personal favors for me, not because he got paid, not because he had to, but because he was a good guy. I got to tell, I'm going to share one story, Chad.
Great. Thank you.
I left the radio network that I was working at, where Pete had been one of my talk show hosts. And I'd moved to Florida. And one of my guys who worked for me, who worked for what is now CBSSports.com, one of my guys came to me and said, "Hey, I need a favor." I said, "What's up?" One of his good friends, diehard Cincinnati Reds fan, was basically given his last rites. Young guy, mid to late 20s, a wife and four kids. He said, "Is there any way that you could put a call into Pete and see if he could just talk to him?" I said, "Let me find out." And, you know, Chad, I couldn't text him, right? So I had to call him.
This was
before texting was a thing.
Yep.
And I called Pete. I called Pete, and I got about three words into my request. He said, "What's the number?" Pete called this gentleman, talked to him for over an hour, stopped what he was doing, talked to him for over an hour, talked to him about fighting. Talk to him about hanging in there. This young man, and I talked to his wife after, he hung up with Pete, and it was like he'd been given a second life. He was so invigorated by the phone call that he got disconnected from all of his machines, went home, took his family to Disney World, and lived another 6 to 7 months where the doctors didn't know if he was going to live a week. Mm. And his wife believes that the phone call that Pete Rose made gave her 6 more months with her husband. That's the Pete Rose that nobody ever talks about.
This is my friend.
The kind of heart.
Yeah, this is my friend Charlie Barker. We've known each other for 30-plus years. Charlie's been involved in a number of top positions in radio, including for close to 4 years working with Pete on their radio show together. The sad news breaking yesterday that Pete Rose has passed away at the age of 83. Let's talk about the drive, right? Because that was so legendary, a part of him even growing up, aspiring in the minors, and then everything he did. Because if it was just pure athletic talent and size, he didn't match up with those guys. But when you miss 5 games from the age of 32 to 41, and again, just to put the 4,296 hits in perspective, somebody starts next year and has a 20-year career of 200 hits every year, they're still short of Rose. And that's not possible, it doesn't seem. So, and you had to see that even after life. And you had to hear those stories all the time. Where did that drive come from? And why was that always a part of who he was?
He grew up a blue-collar kid in Cincinnati. And he just, you hit the nail on the head. And by the way, not to correct you, but it's 4,256.
Oh, 56. Yeah, my bad. You're right.
That's okay. Yeah. Blue collar kid.
Pete probably would have said, "I'll take the 40 extra hits."
Yeah, he would. And I'm sure he'd tell you that somebody screwed him out of those other 40 for sure.
Probably. Yeah.
His dad was really hard on Pete, right? Really hard on Pete. A couple of years ago, Chad, during COVID, I actually reached out to Pete, and he came on a. I was leading a sales team, and it was a national sales team. We couldn't get together because nobody could go anywhere. We're all, you know, self-quarantining, right? I called Pete. Sure. I said, hey, Pete, could you come on a happy hour, a Zoom happy hour with my team? And he said, sure, what's up? And I said, just talk about, you know, the your path, right? Chad, he came on for an hour and talked about how he went from being the second best player on his high school baseball team to the hit king. And it was all about, look, he was a stone-handed second baseman in, you know, the D leagues for the Reds. And how did he become a gold glove second baseman? Effort, practice, drive, right? How did he become so successful? Hustle. Nothing Pete got, he got from, I'll say the word, although it's tongue-in-cheek, because clearly he had it, talent. Every kid who grew up when you and I grew up had our dads telling us, I want you to play ball like Pete Rose. He was the epitome.
Yeah, for sure.
What you wanted a ball player to be.
So let's get to the gambling part. It drove him from the game. He would finally admit to almost all of it. Why was he unwilling to admit to it at the time? And what did it feel like to him when he finally admitted to what most people believe the evidence told them for years and years?
So he and I actually had this conversation many times before he ever admitted it and before he would admit it to me. And I think the reason why he went on with it for so long, the analogy that I always make, Chad, is he told the lie so long he believed it, right? It's in his mind, because he grew up going to the track with his dad and because he grew up being around it, he didn't think it was wrong. So he told the lie and he believed the lie. And I actually ran this scenario by him years later. I said, okay, Pete, you're managing the Reds. And if you remember, they had a pretty good bullpen back in the day, right? Norm Charlton, Rob Dibble, nasty boys, right?
Oh yeah.
I said, let's say Dibbs has thrown three games in a row, but you've got a dime, $1,000, on the Reds to win. And you know Dibbs needs a day off, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got $1,000 on the game. How do you make that decision to not throw Dibbs out there? And he said, and his response was, if I ever gambled, it would never impact my drive to win or to have my team win. So when Pete says, yes, I gambled, and when Pete says, I never bet against the Reds, I promise you, he never bet against the Reds. And I truly believe that it never impacted how he managed. But here's the bottom line, Chad. He broke the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he told the lie for so long. I do truly believe to this day that if Bart Giamatti would not have died, Pete Rose would be in the Hall of Fame today. I truly believe that the powers that be at Major League Baseball believe Pete killed Bart Giamatti through the stress and angst and, mm-hmm. and challenge
right.
that went through. If Bart Giamatti was alive today, Pete Rose would be in the Hall of Fame.
Charlie, I'm very sorry for your loss. Great stories, great information. Be safe, travel well, and let's talk soon.
Much love, Chad. Be well, and thanks for reaching out. And I just, one last thing.
Sure.
Pete was a good guy who made bad choices. But let's remember the way that he impacted our lives and the joy he gave us on the ball field.
Thank you, Charlie. Good stuff. I want to pick up on that, and we're going to be a little short just because we went so long with Charlie. How do we balance that out with individuals? How do we balance it out, whether you know them personally or you know of them, and there are large check marks of lies, deceit, character questions. And at the same time, there are a lot of other things they do extraordinarily well. How do you balance that in your personal life? How do you balance that when you evaluate others? Because Pete Rose is a prime example. And I'll tell you whether I think he's in the Hall of Fame, should be in the Hall of Fame when we come back. You want to chime in? You can. Let's just do text this time. 651-461-9226. It's a conflict in our lives, right, Dave? If you have people close to you and there are decisions they make and you're adamantly against them, or you think they make no sense, or they're poor character decisions, legal issues maybe, right? Especially if they're really close to you, and how you balance that out in your own lives. And I've had to make some decisions about people who are close to me in my life, where do I no longer talk to them? Do I accept it? Do we talk about it? I don't think anybody should have a one size fits all, right? It depends how close you are to them. It depends how well you know. It depends on what they did, and it also depends on how accepting and willing you are as a person, and maybe how accepting and willing you are in this particular case, right? Whatever case that's coming up.
And the difference with Charlie, he meets Pete after he already knew everything about Pete,
right,
and the decisions he made.
Yep.
You're talking about people that you've loved for years, and all of a sudden the decision's made, and you have to figure out where your sensibilities lie. He meets Pete knowing the baggage of Pete, and is, I rarely heard a man more crushed by the death of a friend.
The emotions were there. And a number of texters brought up what I think of often when I hear my father defending a knight, a Steinbrenner, individuals like that. That's Charlie just being honest about his friend. And by the way, sometimes it's not easy for us to be objective about family members and friends. And maybe we shouldn't be, when it's love and it's proximity. Because you can be all those things. You can be a great friend to someone. You can help people out. You can be willing to do it. But Charlie also was honest in saying Pete broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He broke the worst rule of them all, except for literally altering games. He knew what he was doing. He loved the horses. He loved to gamble elsewhere. Now, we've had the Shohei situation this year, which magically has vanished, hasn't it? I mean, how fast has that vanished? With Shohei, the money, and his translator?
Who hasn't seen millions of dollars go from your company? I didn't realize it.
Was it 15, 16 million dollars? It was a crazy number, right?
I wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, it's boom, it's gone. I get all the driven part. I understand it. And Charlie laid it out. But if you're betting on some days in your club and other days you're not in your club, and you're the guy who's setting the lineup, I'm sorry. No. That's not allowed. Mm-hmm. That you cannot just say, well, I always bet on my team. I've said for a long time, as bad as what he did, he should be in the Hall of Fame, and it should be on the plaque. The praise should be on the plaque and banished from the game from 1989 should be on the plaque. But for the museum part of the sport, I would put him in. Would you?
100%. Put him in. I'd put in Bonds, McGuire, A-Rod, all the steroid guys, and say, look, the Hall of Fame Baseball Museum is just that. It's here to tell the story of the game. The good, most of it's the good, but there's the bad. There's the controversial. There's the parts that we don't love to talk about, but I think need to be shared to, share the history of the game we still love.
Especially individuals where it's just suspicion, and it seems unbelievably obvious to us by their body changes, but they never were caught, right? So I regarding the game itself, but the museum, which the Hall of Fame is, I think your point is right on. Jamie Ukas is next. Jamie is here Jamie's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Dave and I are sitting here talking, and finally Dave goes, you think I should call Jamie? I go, that's probably helpful. You know, I don't think we just magically she's going to appear in the studio. It would be nice if she would. But so a call was made. You are a prime flight correspondent. By the way, our guy Kyle Potter from Thrifty Traveler, he just today online, a Thrifty Traveler is a great site to follow. Kyle's great online on Twitter. There are some flights to Hawaii from all across the country that are extraordinarily inexpensive, including in Los Angeles, California. So you and Doug might want to take a look at that one.
What are we talking? Like a couple $100 or more than
that? Yes, like in the $200 to $300.
Wow, that's kind of unheard of. I should go tell my coworkers. They usually, a lot of them go for Christmas.
Yeah, like how, again, it's a bit la-di-da. I got it. But when you're in California, it's what, four-hour flight? Is that what it is?
No, it's like four and a half. I mean, basically, if you think about it, for those of us here in Los Angeles, it's the same amount of time flying to Hawaii as it is for us to Florida. So if you're looking for a beach vacation, you know, it's a lot easier to go that direction than it is across the country.
Nationwide fares to Hawaii under 300 round trip include, this is from Kyle a couple hours ago, 201 from San Diego, 219 from Reno and Salt Lake, 243 from Austin. From Minneapolis, 249.
Well,
Chicago,
you should go.
273. I should go. I multiple times, it lives up to every spec of the hype.
Oh, spectacular.
Yeah.
Well, and each island is different. So if you're like, oh, I've already been to Oahu, well, that's one island. You know, Kauai is totally different. Maui is totally different. The big islands. So you could have five different vacations with the islands.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So I saw this and I saved this. It was another battle over seat reclining. In this case, it got kind of ugly.
Oh, I saw this. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Right. So let's skip the ugliness because it was utter nonsense. I want to get to the Jamie Yuccas, czar of airlines policy. Jamie gets to set this, Dave Harrigan. We're going to guess, and then Jamie's going to tell us. We're going to guess. So Jamie is either, let's say she's in row 15, and she's window. Now, this is probably absurd because she's normally in row 1A, but we'll just hypothetically. So an individual, can Dave Harrigan bring that seat back in her lap? Or she can go back in the lap, and it is allowed. Like, you've got that button. Dave Harrigan, your guess, where does Jamie Yuccas stand on this policy before she tells us?
I mean, one clarification.
Sure.
How long is the flight?
She's flying here back to her former home, which she's abandoned and doesn't care for anymore, Minnesota.
Okay, so flight time's about 3:15, 3:30.
Sure. Yeah. Well, with Jamie, there's going to be a flight issue. Then there's going to be a Delta Club issue.
Yeah, she
there's
going to
be a TSA issue.
She'll already be very upset about
so
things.
So maybe a flight delay. So about 7 hours.
I'm going to say a flight of that duration, plus the fact that she's already irked about things that have happened in the terminal. No recline. No recline.
I am also with Dave Harrigan. I think, first of all, you're wrong.
No, she's on the right side of history.
Because if you have the button's allowed to be used. I'm saying Jamie Yuccas is a no-button pusher in with the rabble. Now, first class, there's a lot of room. That's different. Then it's a bed up there.
Oh, she gets the sleeping cabin.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, she's got, you know, the select she's got the select comfort.
Do you want
up
my
there.
Actual opinion? Or are you guys just going to fill the rest of the segment with
unfortunately,
what you think,
we're out of time. We've got to go.
Okay.
We'll get it
nice
next
talking
week.
To you.
Okay. What is the are we correct?
No, you're not correct, as a matter of fact.
Good.
I think it is it's a case-by-case basis to me. First of all, you do have the button, Chad, which I agree with you.
Yes.
I am someone who tries to take a look at my surroundings. If I see that there's a child behind me, absolutely 100% reclining. If I see that there's a man that's above
child
6 feet
hater,
tall, no, they don't have the leg. They don't have the legroom issue. However, you know, I do have being married to a man who's 6'2". I understand that it's very uncomfortable at times to have that recliner come back. I also, this is my personal opinion, I don't think you should be reclining your seat during the meal and drink time because I've watched too many people like get their stuff spilled or whatever. So if you could keep it up during that period of time, then I'm absolutely for you going ahead and reclining any other time of the flight because, you know, everyone, you do have the button and everyone deserves to be comfortable. Okay. I just think we should take other people into account
That's
as
fair.
Well.
So let's review. Dave, you're what, 5'6"? You're 5'5"?
5'9 and a half, Chad.
Can a man actually say half? I mean, is that man card?
No. I don't, no.
Right. No, so you're 5'9".
A man just did.
A five.
Average is 5'9". I'm above average, darn it.
No one's going to know the difference.
Yeah, okay. So he's 5'9". I'm just short. I'm 6'1". I am 6'1". Yeah. So in other words, you are staying on my lap, and you are right in Dave's lap. Is that the clarification?
I'm sorry, what's the clarification?
Your seat, you're going to recline your seat back towards Dave because he's just a tiny guy, 4'9".
Oh, my God.
And I'm 6'1", a real adult, so you're not going to recline for me. Because didn't you say the criteria is 6 foot?
Yep. Wait, I think if someone's about 6 feet tall.
So do you have a chart? Does Jamie have a chart and say, excuse me? I'd like you to stand up so I could see
tape
measure.
No, but see, this, like, I do think people who travel all the time, we have all these internal little rules. Like, if I'm in the window seat, I'm not getting up the entire flight to use the restroom. I'm going to hold it as long as I can because I'm in the window seat. And I get to control the window. So if I want to look out the window, you don't get to be mad at me in the other seats that I'm opening up my window. I'm also going to be conscious of the fact that you might be watching something on a screen. So I'm not going to open it the whole time. But, you know, there I'm allowed that. If you're in the middle seat, you get both armrests because you get nothing else. You're cramped in there, and it's terrible. And then the person on the end, they get to get up and down and do whatever they want.
Okay.
So,
I think a lot of good points. Now, I don't sign up for the middle seat.
Yeah.
I think the middle seat hate is overblown, though. If you have the folks who follow your policy there, if you are middle seat and you get both armrests, it is such an advantage. Now, if it's either a window or aisle person and they're taking your spot, get out of here. I think they should be ejected from the plane with a parachute that does work. I don't wish death upon them. Oxygen mask, parachute, some instructions, and maybe your cash back for the flight. But you have to stay away from the middle armrest. Dave Harrigan, do you agree with Jamie and my policy? I think Jamie's with me on the parachute, too. You're ejected from the plane if you're in the window or aisle. And
for the record, I'm not with you on this plan, but that's okay.
Put on the tweet that she's for this. That you stay away from the middle arm seats.
Yeah,
the rest.
I think it sounds personally like Jamie actually wants the ejection without the parachute, which is really unkind.
No,
yeah,
no,
I think that's what it was.
That's terrible.
Ejected from the plane. No one should be ejected. Come on.
Yes, middle. If you're in the middle, you get both armrests. I think that's a given.
Should airlines, Jamie, because czar of travel, we fired Pete Buttigieg, you're now in. Should they eliminate the button to eliminate the gray area so you do not have to bring your tape measure on the flight each time?
You know, it's one of those things. You are seeing so many people get so hostile now. That would be one way for the airlines to eliminate this kind of bad behavior. But I also, like, why do we have such bad behavior? Like, what has happened to us? We can't, like, have a civil... The other thing is, like, these people that get really, really mad and upset, I never see them, like, have an initial... hey, do you mind? I'm really, like, I'm kind of in a tight pinch here. Like, if someone said that to me, I wouldn't be, I'd be like, oh, no problem. I didn't realize that was bothering you. Or, you know what? Can we, like, have a compromise? Can I put it back, like, a little bit here? Because I've got a little neck issue. I'm going to try to sleep. Oh, sure. No, I mean, I think, what happened to civility?
That went away, I think, about 40 years ago. I think we gave up. Now, you're not one who walks the terminal wearing one of those weird neck braces, are you?
No, but I do walk the terminal for extra steps when I'm traveling. So you may see me just like facing back.
I do too, also. You know, that's very good. Dave brought up the neck braces recently in an Am I Wrong segment. Would you like to share that with Jamie?
Oh, the neck pillow, the greatest scam in the history of travel. The fact that people walk around this thing, showing it off, wearing it or attached to the outside of their carry-on. Look what I have.
Thank you.
An experienced traveler. I have the pillow.
That's an American right there. That is a patriot. Plus, if you care how you look ridiculous.
It's clownish.
I mean, you know, it doesn't do that much. By the way, I have neck issues too.
I've taken it on an international flight
not
before.
Allowed. Not allowed.
But mm-mm. Come on.
Yeah. 1 week sanction?
Well, it sounds to me she wasn't really impressed by the neck pillow.
Yeah,
I took it. It's not part of my regular travel, but it, you know, when we go to Australia to visit Doug's family, you'll try anything.
Yeah.
You'll try anything just to stay comfortable.
And that helped zero, right? I mean, that
it
neck
really didn't help very much.
No, it did not. Thank you. We gotta go. Thank you.
Okay. Bye,
Jamie. Great as always. 1:51 on CCO. Major, by the way. Was going to Rochester to speak to the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, but then I think the debate and other things. I have a picture sent to me. Looks like Major's in a closet of some sort.
Uh-oh.
There's like a copy machine next to him, though. So
of course there is.
I mean, right here, look at the picture. Is that a Hewlett Packard copy
machine? Yeah,
that's an HP. But I mean, look at this room he's in.
That's not good.
I mean, what's going on?
Is he being held?
Among the texts, don't wear a muscle shirt unless you have muscles. I don't want to sit by your hairy armpits. Well, the hairy armpits still could be there even if you have muscles, right?
Well, at least they'd be covered then by the at least short sleeve, if not long.
Here's another person who wants to rip the neck braces. It's Didi. Didi, you're with us, right? These neck braces, they're sucking people in. It's a con, and everybody should realize this really isn't helping.
Dad, this is the first time I've talked to you, and I hate to do this. First time I'm talking to you, but I have to call you an idiot. You are being an idiot.
No.
These neck pillows
I have
are
feelings,
necessary.
Dee Dee. They're they're not soft, they're hard, they're bulky.
My head is huge. My head is huge.
Like Andre the Giant? Like, how big is your head?
Like, you know, the last Indiana Jones, you know, when they're looking for those skull crystal things, and they got
big head.
Bump in the back.
Yeah, big head.
That's my head.
Yeah.
And so I need a neck pillow to support that big noggin on the top.
Well, just get the pillow they have on the plane that's actually soft as opposed. Another thing about those things, Dee Dee, they're not even soft and comfortable. They're rock hard.
They are nice and hard to support the big noggin I got. I need something with support.
No, if you want, Dave, if you want support for your neck, soft and comfortable is what you want, Dave.
Those little wimpy pillows are like putting a Kleenex back there. It's not going to do anything.
If you've got the big noggin, is this a problem only while you're traveling?
Yeah,
are you a constant neck pillow wearer?
Yeah, what other issues do you face because of this big head?
I have to have a special pillow at home, too, with lots of micro beads in it.
Oh.
My son says I lay on a hillside.
Okay. We got to blow by the break. I mean, I've never had somebody come on the air and acknowledge how big their head is at this point. How's your son's head? Is that giant too, or what's going on?
No, he's normal because by the time he was born, you know, we were all warned not to put our babies on their bellies, and so he was put on his back. You know, I put him on his back. So that he wouldn't, you know, get SIDS and all that. And so he's got a nice flat little head and back.
So you're saying you were born with a normal size head, but then the way the parents raised you, your head just grew dramatically.
Yeah, I was kind of raised by wolves, probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do we have anything for Dee Dee for calling in? I mean, this is... we got a lot of serious stuff today. This is my favorite segment so far.
I think we'll work on getting your neck pillow somehow.
So, Dee Dee, I actually created this bit for Common, but he took it forever. You're now Dee Dee Giant Head Gal. Okay, so you're allowed to call in. You're the one moniker I can go with. Dee Dee, giant head gal. Thank you, Dee Dee. Want to go down to 50? Is that what you're saying? Pretty stunning news there from Dee Dee. And a lot of jokes I could have told. They were sitting there. They were all out there. I let you make up all the jokes on your own.
Great restraint on your part.
It was great for me. It's time for the Linda's Time Check. It's time to make your home more energy efficient and get free installation labor infinity for Marv Windows. Paul Gazelka, the former Senate Majority Leader, on Tim Walz in the debate tonight.